we're at that point in the conference where we may feel like we're saturated. How many of you feel like you're pretty saturated, okay? I trust that what I can do tonight is just touch on some what I feel are very important points. My name is Ken Nagvesky. My wife and I have the privilege of being a part of Go Strategic by being directors of the facilitators for both BLS and SLT in the United States, which has been a great honor and blessing for us. We've been at it now just about 3 years, which is hard to believe that these 3 years have gone by so quickly. But we have known Dennis and Jan going all the way back into the 80s and then being connected with the church that we were pastoring up in upstate New York near Syracuse is what I tell people, but it was actually Ithaca where Cornell University is, the Ivy League school. We pastored there for 36 years, and then God called us out of there, and we resigned the church in April of 2013. Took us a while to sell our home, about a year, and then God directed us to move to Racine, Wisconsin. And we didn't even know where Wisconsin was to some degree. Our son went there to a church, which is a great dynamic church called Living Church, Living Light Church, and he was there for a year at a worship school, which the church conducted, which was kind of intense discipleship and well as developing a musical, your musical talent or whatever. He came back home and then felt that he was supposed to go back there, and then God led us there. And it's interesting because when he was first introduced to the church, how many of you ever heard of the band Skillet? Anybody here heard of the band Skillet? All right. This church is their home church. And that's how he got interested in going there. He was listening to them, and God began to put that on his heart. He went out to visit, and long story short, he went there to the school. And then we moved out there, like I said, almost 3 years ago. And within 1 week of March 2014, we thought we were going to move to Pennsylvania, where my wife's family lived, to care for her mom. But her mom went to be with the Lord on Sunday. On Monday, we sold our house after waiting for a year. And on Friday, we found out we were going to be working with Go Strategic part-time. So God kind of just put it all in. And we heard we were supposed to move to Wisconsin. So just so you're aware, my relationship to business goes back to the 70s. Like somebody says, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet. Well, I'm not a businessman per se or the son of a businessman, but I've been very involved with businessmen, starting with my brother, Stan, who started a business out of his garage back in 1975. And this was before people were talking about kingdom businesses. You know, it became more popular in the 70s and into the 80s about that type of thing. Basically, I was, him being my physical brother, but also an advisor to him, kind of a prophetic advisor to him as well, about starting his business. Then he moved to the Ithaca, New York area to join the church that then we came to. And he had his own business there, which was called Tradesman. And now he still runs a business, which is mainly a family business with he and his son, down in Manassas, Virginia. So my heart is very close to businessmen and women. My wife and I still do life coach pastoring with a number of businessmen and women that we pastored in New York who have now moved to Michigan and California and Pennsylvania. So we still have that going as well. So I'm coming more from a unique position of being a pastor addressing this. And so that's what you're going to hear tonight. I'm not going to put up graphs and charts. I'm hoping really to reach into your heart tonight as a business leader and stir some things in your spirit that God may want to stir. So I'm just going to pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that we have received to this point. We thank you for what you're doing in transforming us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. You work in us, and we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk just for a few minutes here, and again, I'll look to be brief, just hit on major points. But I believe one of the greatest things that we all need, no matter what jurisdiction that we are called to serve in, we need to be praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Paul prayed that prayer for the church at Ephesus, that their eyes would be opened, that they would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that their eyes would be opened, that they would know what the hope of their calling was. They would know the exceeding greatness of his power to those who believe. They would know their inheritance in the saints. And he prayed that for them consistently so their eyes would be opened to recognize the preeminence of Jesus Christ consuming everything and possessing everything and ruling over everything. But somehow we need to be put in our right mind on a regular basis, don't we? All right, and one of the things that I put here as we start is the whole thing of God's meta-narrative, the big picture. And let's face it, God came to us. We didn't come to him. You know, we talk about finding Jesus. I don't know about you, but he wasn't lost, right? We were, and he came out of the mystery and out of his place of rulership, and he revealed himself to us. And that's really the mega narrative that the scripture speaks of, is God's self-revelation and us discovering who he is as the Almighty God, and he does that through a chosen people. Isn't that wonderful? And we're part of that chosen people. Do you get a witness on that, that you're part of God's chosen people? All right. So we need to have continual revelation. We need to pray for that. I would encourage you to pray Ephesians 1, 17 through 21 on a consistent basis. That was something that my wife and I began to pray 44 years ago now when we got married. That was one of our major prayers, that God opened our eyes to the kingdom of God, moving us out of just, could I call, normal Christianity into a vision for the kingdom, covenant community, and all that goes with that. Was praying that prayer just on a consistent basis out of Pauline's letter to the Ephesians. I think every day we almost need to remind ourselves that we are caught up into this bigger story and drama than we live in every day. Let's face it, we've all been dropped into, it's kind of like coming into the middle of a movie. Did you ever walk into the middle of a movie? And it's like the story is going on, the characters are in motion, the plot is kind of unraveling, and you're going, what is going on here? How did they get to where they're at? Well, we've all been dropped because history didn't start with us, even though most people today live like life began when they were born. But we're dropped into the middle of a story, into the middle of a drama. The beginning of it is God, and the end of it is God, and the glory of his Son, again, ruling over all things and everything. He has preeminence in everything, but we get caught up into that story, and God actually makes us part of his drama, and he makes us part of his drama in the area of business, because business is under the kingdom of God. I am very grateful that as a pastor, I never had, we came to the church that we were pastoring when we were only 25. So it was good to have that revelation of the kingdom. But we weren't in a position to say, you know what? The best position you can be in is to become pastor of a church. Because that was kind of like, you know, the star positions, where if you became a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, you know, the fivefold ministries within the ecclesiastical setting. When God says, I have all of those in many jurisdictions, if not all of them. And so the business person, to me, has always been a star position in God's kingdom. Just like the political realm or any realm that people have a calling and a commissioning in. All right? So you're caught up in this drama, but we need to remind ourselves every day that it's the bigger picture. Always be drawn up into God's bigger picture by revelation. Does that make sense? Because what we're going to be looking at here is the importance of having what we're calling is a transcendent worldview. Looking beyond, always going beyond. Our Lord is above all things, he's in all things, and he's beyond all things. And that's the realm we're to really live in the spirit, and bring that to earth in its manifestation. And we get to do that every day when we go do our business, when we get to go and provide the service or provide the product or whatever. We get to be involved in God being there with us in that drama, and I think that's pretty exciting. Now, Roman number 2 on your outline here, leadership commonly understood from a successful secular viewpoint. And, you know, I put down a couple examples here about books that have been very prominent over the past number of years, and I'm not going to get into this totally, but so many of the books, and I love these books. I love reading about Winston Churchill and Never, Ever, Ever Give Up, and they're great sermon examples, all right? But the point that is being made here is that so much of that is just involved with the here and now, overcoming obstacles for this life. And we all know, again, if we're going to be in our right mind and have that spirit of wisdom and revelation, that what we're involved in is always looking to the beyond, not just the here and now. But I'll tell you what, every day the enemy works for you to live just in the here and now, in your decision making, in your choices, in your struggles with your problems. He just wants you to see it that this is right now the deal and the issue, when God is always using the present to build onto the future and to actually build into eternity. I pray that God would just wash our minds with that tonight, okay? Number five here under Roman numeral 2.C, what commonly passes for leadership wisdom is little more than how to survive and or prosper in the natural prior to physical death. Is this profound leadership? That's a good question. Is this profound leadership? You know, the secular viewpoint comes from a Latin root word, which means the present world. So this, a secular viewpoint really focuses on the present physical world and actually ignores or rejects the spiritual realm or the afterlife. Spiritual realities don't have a significant role in one's thoughts or actions or future if you are just living by a secular point of view. And the sad reality is that even though there are many in the Western world, I mean, if you talk to people in the Western world, majority of the people will say they have some set of spiritual beliefs. And yet, for the most part, they continue to live their lives pretty much as functional atheists because of dualism, because they separate that out from their everyday decisions and from their everyday lives. So what is profound leadership or deep leadership? I was thinking about all that Lance has told us and Dennis has told us, what we've already heard in the workshops. What is that going to take to accomplish that? It's going to take deep leaders producing deep people. And we must move into truly making disciples. And isn't it amazing how much, again, we are constantly in a state of forgetting that Jesus did not make converts? That our main model, Jesus Christ, was a deep leader who produced deep people. Because that's what disciples are. They are deep people. They are transformed people. They are people who have been captured by God's meta-narrative. They are people who are living for that bigger story outside of themselves. By the way, we've heard a lot about post-modernity, and post-modernity promotes the idea that there is no meta-narrative. There is no bigger story. It's just now. It's me living now for myself. It's not about living for a higher ideal, and we know that that has never been what's driven even the American culture over the years. Richard Foster, a Christian writer, says, the desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people. Oswald Sanders said, disciples, deep people, are not manufactured wholesale. They are produced one by one because someone has taken the pains to disciple, to discipline, to instruct and enlighten, to nurture and train one that is younger. That's good, isn't it? In other words, it's work. Jesus took those 3 years and worked with his disciples. And it's amazing that even when he was leaving them, they still hadn't gotten it, but they did get it. So we should be encouraged, because we don't get it. We come late to the party, but somewhere, at some point, that revelation hits. What my wife and I pray for all the time for our children and now for our grandchildren is, God, give them a revelation. Because until their eyes are personally opened, you can say everything in the world, you can be dead on and dead right with the truth you're trying to give them, but until something opens their eyes to see it, nothing will truly change. Nothing will truly change. So we need this revelation time and time again about, again, that we are called to make disciples. We're not called to do it lightly, all right? Roman numeral 3 says here, business leadership must be defined by a biblical worldview and transcendent, profound motivation, attitude, and skill. I repeat again, deep leadership produces deep people. And deep leadership addresses ultimate reality in this life and beyond. There used to be a saying, I think it was an advertisement for, it might have been even for a certain beer product, where it says, you only go around once in life, so get it with all the gusto you can. That was Schlitz? All right. See? There you go. That's a lot of the attitude. Live for now, get all that you can. Do it with all the gusto you can for now. I remember putting a sign on someone's car. We were stopping at a place where they made wonderful apple pies in upstate New York, and it was a car that was parked near to us, and they had a sticker on it. This was a sticker that was out there a number of years ago. I'm out spending my children's inheritance. Did you ever see that sticker? I wrote a note and put it on their windshield. I don't remember totally what the content of it was, but it wasn't nice about what I felt about that particular sticker. All right? We are people, if we're going to be advancing the kingdom of God, we must live with the perspective that goes beyond the now. Dennis says something very profound in the book, Doing Business God's Way, which is going to be coming out again. All right, so as business leaders, he says in chapter 2, maturity comes by stewarding property. He says, God hasn't called us to make money. He's called us to work with him in building character skills and relationships with people. These things will pass on into the next age. Have you ever heard anybody tell you that in your life before? I mean, we heard about heaven, and that was kind of like this surreal, dreamy world where we're going to sit on a cloud and play a harp, or I don't know. You know, there's all these pictures of what heaven is. You know, Peter's at the gate. Streets of gold and all that kind of thing. And it's like, I don't know what we were going to do there, but it certainly wasn't work, because that was a curse. All right, but Dennis is saying here to us is that the perspective, again, this is revelatory. This is revelation, is that we are building now. Think about that. Your skills will pass into eternity. It's not just we pass into eternity, everybody's at ground zero. Doesn't even make sense, does it, that God would build that way? And it says that things are going to pass through a fire. What are you building? And by the way, let God test your stuff now that you're building. I'd rather have him test it incrementally than have it go up in smoke all at once, or so that we can adjust it. God, have mercy on us to put your blowtorch to something now so that I can know where I'm off. I can know what I'm building on wood, hay, and stubble and not on gold and silver and precious stones. All right? This is how we advance the kingdom. And it's going to get better even. But I think this is possessions do not pass with us to death. Only character skills go with us into eternity. Godly motives, godly ethics, service orientation, leadership skill, and stewardship skills. These pass through the fire. And then he puts the prayer here. Father, teach me to handle these problems by the book. Give me faithfulness and understanding. Because when this business is gone, and with it all that I have given to charity, what will last is the character and skills I have developed and imparted to those with whom I work. I thought of what Lance said about micro churches. Remember when he was talking about that? That's the twos and the threes. And let's face it, Jesus affected very directly 12, and he lost one of those, which encourages me. Have you lost some people that you invested in? All right? But the fact is, God is exponential in how he affects things, but we may only be called to influence two or three in a very strong way in our lifetime that are right near us. When you look at people that are, you know, called successful people in the world, there wasn't a whole lot of people that influenced them. Many times it was a dad or a mom in the family, or it was a coach, or it was a teacher, or it was somebody that was a neighbor that believed in them and invested in them so they could become a deep person. Now, Dennis says, in order to take others into transformation, you yourself have to be in the transformation, right? If we are going to produce deep people, guess what? We have to be deep people. How do we become deeper people? I think this is the process, is that you read Hebrews 4:12 and it says that the word of God is quick, right? It's alive, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Another scripture that says, and everything is laid naked and bare with him with whom we have to deal. Do you know what the Greek word there for naked and exposed is? The word that's used for the sacrificing of an animal. The neck would be bared and the knife would be put to it. So in other words, what the word of God is saying there is that God's going to grab you by the throat. Now that seems harsh, but there is a way where the word of God has to grab us, doesn't it? If we're going to be deep people. If you read the word of God and it doesn't upset you or it doesn't challenge you, you're not reading deep enough. We should have an issue with the word of God. It should challenge us, because for us to go deeper, we've got to be transformed. We've got to be challenged. Another word, it says in Scripture that don't be conformed to this world, Romans 12:1 and 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What that word means there in transformation of the mind is the same word that is used to set a bone that's broken. I remember one time I was going to the bathroom in the middle of the night and I caught my foot between my little toe and the toe next to it, and I ripped my little toe. I remember coming back in bed. I could not even put the sheet on top of that toe. It was so sore. And I remember going to the emergency room, and the doctor says, well, we've got to set it because you really whacked it. It's out of joint. And he said, I think I better put a needle in there because it would really hurt if I didn't anesthetize you a little bit. But what he had to do was snap that toe back into place. Do you ever see people that have a dislocated shoulder? And it's not painless. This is the process. I'm just, again, digging deeper in your heart and soul that God is going to be after putting his foot on your neck, that he's conquered you as your Lord. He is going to be looking to set right that which is out of whack. 1 Peter 5 brings the same thought out when he says, after you have suffered a while, it's at the end of chapter 5, 1 Peter, it says that after you have suffered a while, God himself will come and perfect you. It's the same word, setting a bone in place. He will complete you. He has to set us right before we can be complete. That's what the word of God does. That's what deep people and deep leaders are after, is allowing God to do that process, allowing us to read the word of God against ourselves, allowing us to have our problems shape and mold us. There's a whole section I have in here about our failures and our doubts and all the things that we have to face. I liked what Rush Tooney said about this. He said that salvation does not remove us from trouble, tribulation, or problems. Rather, it thrusts us into them and at the same time gives us the assurance of victory in Jesus Christ. If we are going to be deep leaders, because let's face it, as we heard this week, the problems that are out there are not going to be solved by shallow people. They're not going to be solved by shallow Christians. Those problems that are in the economic business world are not going to be solved by shallow business leaders or business leaders who have the focus in the wrong place, not caught up into God's bigger meta-narrative of Jesus being all in all. We heard tonight about Jesus being our pattern, the pattern son. Isn't it tremendous the way he lived, that every moment of the day he lived for the Father? Every moment. I'm challenged by that because I know that there are moments of the day when I'm not thinking about the Lord the way I should, where I'm not experiencing his presence in that moment. And yet he wants me to have his presence every moment of the day. See, I know Christian business people who say, I'm a Christian. That's my Christian life. This is business. It's a different world. You know people like that? They profess to be Christian. Again, that's where they separate it. The dualism is there. Yeah, well, you can't really be a Christian in the business realm. Can't really be that influential. That reveals shallowness, because that's exactly what God wants us to be, is salt and light as business leaders. Amen? Profound leadership builds legacy and inheritance in this life and deposits of eternal life in relationships and skills to take into the next. And here's the point, too, that we need to have revelation of in a deeper way: the power of the resurrection. Yeah, the power of the resurrection is this. Paul said, you can have hope and faith for all the promises of God because we have a God who raises the dead. Because Jesus rose from the dead and he was the first fruits of the harvest, we are guaranteed that, just as Rushdoony said, in the end, we have victory in Jesus Christ. That's a revelation we need to hold on to in our business dealings, is that the power of the resurrection is on our choices. The power of the resurrection is on our decisions. The power of the resurrection can be on our strategies. It's not just for us being raised from the dead after we die and Jesus returns. See, because that's how we can kind of compartmentalize that. But the reality is, history was changed forever, not just by the death of Jesus, but by the resurrection of Jesus. Because Paul said, if he didn't raise from the dead, your faith is in vain. That's how powerful the resurrection is. And the scripture says that that's the power we have in operation in us every day, wherever we are in our day. So if you have, you know, rainy days and Mondays put you down, the power of the resurrection can be there. All right? If it's hump day, right? Wednesday, hump day. There was this commercial on TV, you know, this camel would come through. Hey, Frank, what day is it? It's hump day, Frank. It's hump day. Isn't it amazing, though, how much we can still be influenced by that in our thinking, in our attitude, even though we're believers that are to be living above that, because we serve a transcendent God that goes above that? But again, that's how still we got to be cleansed of dualism in our thinking, in advancing the kingdom as business leaders. But that whole point of, you know, the sword piercing our hearts, you know, that the word of God is alive and quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. The whole thing of you know, renewing our minds is like the setting of a bone. You know, it's actually a fact that when your mind is renewed, that this has been studied, I believe, that the very lobes of the brain get shifted, physically get regrooved in thinking. That set habit patterns in our life. And you thought it was just about prayer and going to church and reading your Bible. It's one thing. It's that seamless garment again that God wants to touch you as a business leader in every area of your life and take out all those distortions and all those things that would keep you from experiencing revelation, transcendency on a daily basis, the power of the resurrection on a daily basis. So the takeaways I want you to have from this are this, that these are the things that you can have in operation in advancing the kingdom of God on a daily basis as a business leader. They're not over here that you come home to or that you come to your home group with or that you come to church with. They are in your life 24/7 if you appropriate them, if you see them. Yes. That's right. That's where the logos of the word becomes rhema. Now, there's two terms for the word of God. The logos of the word, which is the written word, but then that word becomes a rhema word, where God puts an edge on it or puts the light on it and says, this is yours. This scripture is yours. And that's a rhema word, and that changes everything too. But the reason it can be a rhema word is because of the power of the resurrection, see? But please take this with you into your business this week. Don't leave it at home. Don't leave it on, your Bible study. Don't leave it on the side. Don't think it's just for your spiritual stuff. This is for Monday morning. This is for the tough business meeting. This is for the tough employee. This is for you who's got problems with what God's doing. I wanted to read this other thing. This came from a band. They're called, maybe some of you have heard of Wren Collective. Anybody heard of Wren Collective? Yeah. They said, God loves us too deeply to smother us with safety. This is talking about going deep now, folks. He knows we don't combat our fears by living sheltered lives. We fight fear by developing courage. And courage is forged in the dangerous furnace flame of risk. Courage is forged in the dangerous furnace flame of risk. The life in all its fullness that Jesus talks about in John is not a pain-free life or a failure-proof life, but a passionate life. We need to stop thinking of the gospel as an insurance policy against getting hurt and rather as a license to dream big and risk big for the kingdom. In the assurance that if all goes wrong, grace will pick us up, dust us off, and throw us right back into the action. How many of you bear witness to that? I feel like God throws you right back in the action. It's like, okay, took a hit there. Okay, that didn't go well. That's why I'm your father. That's why you're a son or daughter first. Because success for me will be determined of you coming into your sonship, you coming into being a daughter of mine. He doesn't mind us. He will not harm us. But we will probably feel pain. I think we can all bear witness to that in our lives, can't we? But that produces a deep person. So you can go and lead deep people. That's the whole thing of what Peter went through when Jesus said, Satan's going to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail you, so that when you are converted, and that's the same word again that's used about setting the bone, when you are strengthened, when you are set right, it's not only going to be for you, it's going to be for those that you'll turn and strengthen. It's never just for us. You are called to be people in the leadership realm that are going to create these deep people that are needed for what's ahead. And you've got to see yourself that way. But what you need to know is you got to go deeper. Are you willing to surrender to God to go deeper? And yeah, that probably means getting in some tight places, all right? The ethos is that we no longer want to have half alive, pew-warming Christians, I love this, but rather uncaged and untamed disciples. Untamed and uncaged disciples. We want to step into the wild places where God's Spirit hovers. We want those inspiring role models of courageous living and intrepid faith to the next generation, and we want to live alive. I'm going to close it here for us. I'm going to ask this question. Do you see yourself first as a son or daughter of Father? And do you find your core needs met in Him alone? Because until we go deeper with Him, that all of our core needs are met in Him and Him alone, we will always be somehow tempted by the enemy or obstructed by the enemy or maybe even taken out by the enemy. That's where we have to deal with our idols, where we find something of satisfaction or a source of life in someone other than the Lord Jesus Himself. But I ask you, do you see yourself first as a son or daughter of God, not as a business person? Did you notice whenever we meet people, how do we identify ourselves? Hi, my name is Ken Nagveski. When I was a pastor, hi, my name is Ken Nagveski. I'm a pastor of Covenant Love Community. Hi, my name is such and such. I'm a business owner of. Isn't that interesting? And that's okay, but our first response should be, hi, my name is Ken. I'm a son of the living God. I'm a daughter of the living God. Nobody can take that away from me. See? Nobody could take that away from the Son of God. That's why, whether his disciples followed him or didn't, whether people left him or not, he had no insecurity about that, because he knew he was rooted in his Father as a source of life. And if you're going to be a deep person that will produce deep people, you've got to deal with those issues, you know? Even make a list of things that you value in your life, your relationships, your possessions. What if those things were to be taken away? Could you still be rooted in the Lord? Oh, yeah, you would be sorrowful. Oh, yeah, you could be shaken for a time, but that is not where your anchor is. That is not where you're rooted. Because if you're rooted in the Lord as a son or daughter, nothing will move you from that. You will become a deeper person by that process with Him. Because remember, God not only loves the destination, God loves the process of making us into His sons and daughters first and foremost. God is more concerned about your character than He is about your gifts. Because look at in our culture how many times people had gifts, wonderful gifts, leaders politically or whatever, and yet their character failed them, and therefore they failed in life. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Father, thank you that you're calling us daily into your bigger picture, your bigger story, the bigger drama, and we get to be players with you in that drama. Father, I pray that you would grant to us that spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, that we would not settle to be shallow. We would not even settle to go as deep as we've already gone. But that we would be desperate to go deeper, to say, Father, take me deeper with you. And Lord, we know that that might mean that we face difficulties. We face hardships. We face dangerous things even. But Lord, you want to teach us how to be so anchored in you with implicit trust and radical obedience that nothing will shake us. Father, I pray for every businessman and woman in this room, Lord God. May you perfect your way in them. May you cause them to ache and hunger for a deeper, deeper place in you. Let your word be as that sword that cuts away that which is not of you. May our minds be renewed so that we are set like a bone, set for strength, set for action, and ready to go for you. Lord, settle us, confirm us, and establish us for your glory and honor, for such a time as this, and for whatever coming reformation there is. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.